Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Journey, and we are blessed to be here once again in the house of the Lord. This is Pastor Fisher from Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Church, and we're glad you have decided to be here with us. Amen. We're going to go right ahead. We thank God for another day's journey. Amen. Had a very, very unusual day today, as you know, if you've been keeping an eye on how things have been going. But we want to talk a little bit from the Word today on a few subjects that I believe will calm your mind for the season that we're in. Amen. And we know that it has been a very unusual season, but we thank God for either way, either case, no matter how things are. Because you and I can enjoy some things that other people who don't know the Lord and the part of their sin are unable to enjoy. Amen. So we just want to talk with you today as we have come to this midweek Bible study. And we just are going to speak on a few things here after we have a word of prayer. Amen. We hope everything is well with you. And it is a privilege to share these times of understanding and prayer together and fellowship with you. So we always look forward to that, and we're blessed to come to you at this time. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we praise your name. Father, we bless you, and we thank you for another day's journey. Father, we lift up your name, for that is our highest priority, O God, is to give you glory and praise, Father. So we thank you for everything that you are doing, Lord God. We thank you for the activity of our limbs and that we're clothed and in our right minds. And Father, we thank you for your spirit, and we thank you for forgiveness, mercy, oh God, and all that that you provided through your own Son, Jesus the Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus right now, Father. We ask that you forgive us of our transgressions and our multitudes of sins, oh God, as an individual and even as a country, Lord God, that you bless this country as it is going through much turmoil and much grief right now. Father, just as you have said in your word, we look forward to these times because you have prepared us mentally for such a time as this. And so, Father, we thank you and we ask for guidance and wisdom in the middle of this turmoil and everything that's going on, Father. We ask that you help us to extend our reach and our outreach with the gospel, the good news, which is the only thing that is able to save mankind. And so, Father, today we want you to bless us with a special anointing, a special understanding, Lord God, that we might continue to focus on the real issues, Lord God, and sidestep all the foolishness. And, Father, we want to have you just bless our minds and be able to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord God, you promised that you would lead us and guide us in the way everlasting, and so that's what we need, Lord God. We set aside everything else, Lord God, and we lift our hands to you and you alone, Lord God, and we ask you to bless today. Give us understanding, give us peace, even in these times of trouble. Bless your word today as it goes forth, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Father, look over those that are going through turmoil right now, whatever the situation, whether it be because of illness, death, whatever it is that's bothering anybody, or that has plagued anybody's peace. We ask right now that you touch and bless, Lord, and you know who all needs the touch of your hand. And so, Father, we lift it up. We lift up our country, our city, our state, everywhere, Lord God, this world, because we know your focus is on the world. So, Father, we thank you for global ministry in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. And all the saints all said together, amen, amen. Go ahead and thank God right now. No matter what you're doing, it is always appropriate. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I want to talk with you just for a little bit this evening on a subject that we kind of started talking about this on the Lord's Day last Sunday. And I want to get back to it today. Just the fact that we've been talking about how the Spirit of God goes about motivating me and you who would otherwise do like we used to do before we got saved. How does he motivate us to begin to take up his word and do what God says in his word? And so that's what we've been talking about, how the Spirit behooves us to do what we do. And I want to let you know that the times we live in are critical times. And God the Spirit has promised to be on board with each of us, and he will lead and guide you, the Bible says, into all truth. And so Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then, and only then, are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we want that freedom. That's the kind of freedom that you and I need. It's not a freedom that's given to us by anything here on earth. It's a higher freedom that's even higher than anything that you and I have ever beheld here on earth. That's why the psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And there we can rest in God, in the rock of his salvation, the fact that God is stable. None of this stuff that's going on here is shaking his mind. He's not shaken up nor confused or anything about anything that's going on, and neither should we be. I keep on hearing people telling folks, and I mentioned this to some of the folks earlier, that folk always want to tell you when you get excited about something or when something fearful happens or something terrible or you get upset about a thing, the first thing they say to you is, calm down, calm down. But I want to tell you this evening, I want to talk about this evening how you can calm up. I want you to calm up, not calm down. Realize that God is seated on the throne, and that there is nothing that has ever surprised him at all. He has never been surprised by anything, and he knows everything. And not only that, but if you can just calm up, you'll know he has control over everything, and he has given us that ability by his Spirit and by his word. And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit here this evening. I thought it would be a good gesture just to get us into the right frame of mind for the season that we're going through. And in order for us to do that, I'm going to have you look at a passage here in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Now, you know, we've been talking about how the Spirit motivates us to do that which is God's will. And that will be, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so true freedom comes from continuing in his word. Then we can be free from everything that's binding us, whatever it is, no matter what the situation is. He has granted us freedom by choosing his word and learning the word and applying it to our lives. The human governments can only go so far. And y'all know I've talked about this quite a bit, and I'm not going to get on that soapbox tonight. But instead of us being worried about things as we see, we need to see that God is always on his throne. He always has been. And he always will be. And there comes coming a day pretty soon when he will exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be the ruler of all. And it says in Psalms 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, for the Lord shall have them in derision. Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And he will declare the decree unto him. He says that you are my son. This day have I begotten you. So God says, I got my king already set. And so he is the true king, the king of righteousness, the king of truth. And so we want to concentrate and meditate on him, and that'll take us through any kind of difficult situations or whatever we're dealing with here on earth. But let's take a look here at this scenario that has been given to us in the book of Hosea in the third chapter. It says this, the Lord says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel, who look unto other gods and love flagons of wine. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and an half an homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee." Now notice this verse here, the conclusion in verse 4 and 5. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. And afterwards shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Amen. That is the entire third chapter of Hosea. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now, what we see here, and I just want to grab a few thoughts out of this, because I was thinking about how our country is going, first of all, the way it's going. It's pretty tragic, but it's the way that most countries go. In the days of Israel, particularly after they had been taken captive, and the northern kingdom, as we mentioned in previous lessons, was taken into captivity into Syria, and then the southern kingdom eventually, 586, taken into captivity by Babylon, and then on through a whole succession of Gentiles all the way up until the time of the Roman Empire, when Israel was permitted to go back into her land. And then they were under the dominion of Herod, who was not a legitimate king of Israel at the time Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was born in the flesh. And so we've been talking about that a little, but this period here that Hosea speaks of, he had prophesied that the children of Israel would abide many days, he says here, without a king, even though God loved her, sanctified her, set her apart to be for his own. It says, he's speaking to Hosea, and this is metaphoric and prophetic. He says, "Then said the Lord unto me," God speaking to Hosea, "Go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took to other gods and love flagons of wine." See, that's what happens. People take to other gods, other things that they place in a higher place than they do God Almighty himself. Israel was guilty of that. And I would say many people today are guilty of that. There are people who put other things at a higher priority than they do God and his provision and all that he provides. And the truth is, beloved, he provides everything for everyone, no matter whether they believe in him or not. And I want to talk about that just a minute before we get into the lesson of what I really want you to hear tonight. It's impeccable when you think about who God is. He has created everything, the earth and the heavens and all that in them is. And he continues to have an attitude of love and mercy toward all of us. And you know how many of us deserve God's love and mercy? Zero. Just a big fat zero. None of us do. The fact is, we have all been kind of like this woman who he uses here metaphorically to speak about Israel, somewhat of an adulteress. We're not totally faithful to God. It doesn't make any difference what political persuasion you are. It doesn't make any difference what gender you are, what race you are, whether you're a man or a woman, in other words, or whether you are black or white. And these are the big things that people make issues about today. Is this a person black or white, or they may a Latino or some nationality, as though that makes a difference? And to God, it absolutely doesn't. The fact is, God's kingdom will be populated, as it says in the book of Revelation and other places, with every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And y'all know I love to get on that topic of whosoever, because whosoever is a big issue. And the fact is, God loves everyone, and that's part of the problem with us. We have the audacity not to care about other people as we do our own, or the kind who looks like me, or the kind who believes like me, or the kind who worships like me, or the kind who has the same political persuasion as me. We make all these caveats, but yet God is the true King, and He is no respecter of persons. Y'all know I say that all the time, and that's because it is true. God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anyone in the world who believes in Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then He goes on to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We live in a time when condemnation is really a big deal. People take a lot of interest. I hear all kinds of people who say they're so-called religious or righteous people who will tell you that all the Democrats are going to hell, or all the Republicans are going to hell, as though Republican and Democrat was the dividing line of what God said. And when the truth is that Jesus said that he who is not with me is against me, so the dividing line is really about Jesus. It's not about whether you're black or white, male or female, Republican or Democrat, American or some other nationality, Latino or whatever you want to say. None of those designations mean anything to God. And God's mercy is available to everyone, whoever you are, regardless of your persuasion, whatever it would happen to be. And so, you know what? We do a lot of this, and I've been seeing a lot of it, so I'm a little kind of been perturbed about it, is that we want to make designations based on stuff that really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to God which one you are, as far as that is concerned. And some people will tell you, people are probably going to send me mail about that right now. But that's okay, because I'm not trying to satisfy them. I am trying to satisfy Almighty God. And His gospel is a message to the whole world. And so Israel is used as a prototype in the scripture to explain to the world. And I can give you some verses for that. We can look at 1 Corinthians 10 or even Romans chapter 15, where the Lord expresses what He means by giving Israel as an example to the whole world. And He tells us that, for example, let's look at the one. I'll give you the one here as you are taking a little time to study with me this evening. In Romans 15, He says here, and let's just read verse number. Let's start at the beginning. Romans 15, real quick. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. See, there's two groups, strong and weak. Strong people are folks who are grounded spiritually in God's word, and they try to think like God does. In other words, God is trying to embrace everyone, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people, no matter what persuasion they are. He's universal, and His love is available to all men, women, boys, and girls through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, and not about anything else. It's not about anything else. And so Paul says the strong, that's people who understand God's universal mercy toward all men, those who embrace His word and put it higher than everything, including their constitution or whatever else it is that they are trying to stick up to be some kind of a thing that depicts righteousness, which really isn't. It has nothing to do with it. And the fact is, or has little to do with it, let's say. And he says that we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, don't go with your standard that you set, some standard which is dinky and separative and not universal. Go with God's standard. And this was not an easy lesson. Paul had a hard time learning it. He thought that the particular Pharisees that he was with was the highest group, and the Sadducees were the lower group, and the Gentiles were the scum of the earth. But he had to come out of that sickness when he confronted the true Christ on the Damascus Road, and he found out that Jesus is Lord, which is what the true church preaches. We're not preaching black and white. We're not preaching ethnicities. We're not preaching politics, not if we understand the scripture, that it is a universal global message to every man, woman, boy, and girl, and that whoever believes in Him, that's what the Bible says, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, and He's preaching to the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So we have to get there, and if you're not there, you've got a ways to go. And I pray for you this evening that you get there, whoever you are. Because there's a lot of people making divisions about stuff that really makes no difference to Almighty God. So here in Romans 15, let's go back. He says in verse 2, Romans 15, 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, what somebody else thinks is more important than what I think. If I have knowledge of God, I shouldn't be condemning someone else. I should be condescending to someone. I mean, not condescending, but let's say setting myself down for the purpose of lifting them up. I need to come down off of whatever it is I understand and make myself weak in order that I might strengthen them, whoever they are. And this is universally to be applied, not to one group or another and all of that. I'm sure that's what's wrong with the modern church, is that there's too much division and sectarianism, and also what's wrong with politics and everything else. And so the fact is, we should be universal like God. We should think like God. And that's what the whole idea of walking by faith and not by sight is, to take the mindset of God about everything. In other words, God says he has got a message for the whole world. He has universal salvation for the world, for whosoever believes in his Son and trusts in his word. And so Paul says the person who's really spiritually strong should not please himself, but please his neighbor, it says here, for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, think about that for a minute, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. In other words, people who had any problems with God at all, no matter what the sin level was, Christ allowed that to fall upon him to pay their bill, regardless of how desperate their situation, how evil their situation was, or anything. Jesus took that wrath from God in order to make anyone who believes in him presentable before God the Father. And that's what Paul quotes here as he's writing to the Romans. Then he says in verse 4, this is what I wanted to get to. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so in other words, we have hope because what is written for our admonition and our understanding. In other words, to help us understand universally how God is and how to be God-like. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to get an undone wretch who is born in sin and shaped in iniquity to think like Almighty God who loves the whole world. And so you don't hear a lot of teaching across this line, and there's a lot of things that occurred to me, and we'll be talking about that as we go on a little later on in our studies. But tonight I wanted to talk with you about the model of Israel. Israel was given as a model so that we can see that the very things that happened to them, we just see a repeat of it. We can change the names of the labels and we'll get the same thing. And that was their big mistake, is that God sent his own Son to them. He came to his own first, and his own received him not. It says, but as many as received him, that's the group of people who came out of all the different sects and different parts of Israel that had separated themselves in all their divisions, whether it was scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots, the different groups that they had divided up into. And they embraced Christ from all those groups, any of them who did. That's why it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. And so that's the way you and I have to be. And Israel is a model to show us how God handles people in general. And the Bible is the manual for that. So those things that are written before time speak of the old covenant that God made with Israel. And you can see that when Israel had opportunity to receive Jesus, that's why it says he came to his own and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, even out of those groups, those factions, those divisions, who were all twisted and all out of the way and all in cahoots to destroy the Messiah, which they did, along with the Gentiles. They thought they didn't really destroy him. They put death on him, which God intended, in order for him to receive the penalty for sin that we all deserve. And God was pouring it out intentionally with full knowledge knowing that Israel would certainly fulfill exactly those things which he had written. And it's crazy when we come to another country in the free world, as we call it, and we find the same type of sectarianism and division separating people, and even in the so-called visible church. So I wanted to present this as comfort for those of you who see what's going on and understand that Jesus did prophesy that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, which is kind of plagues, if you want to give a modern word for pestilence, in diverse places, and all of these things that will be going on, and that's what we see. So you and I know that the written word of God is absolutely true, and God is no respecter of persons. The way to be right with God is put your faith entirely in his Son, Jesus the Christ, whom he has given and centered the world on him, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. So let's get back to Hosea quickly. I just said that to say that what's written, and this is what you can get out of the Old Testament. When you study the Old Testament, you can see the errors that Israel made. And we know they went all the way to the place where they rejected the Messiah. So this prophecy in chapter 3 in the book of Hosea says that God told Hosea to go yet and love a woman. That shows you God still loved Israel, no matter how she treated him. Beloved of her friend, and yet an adulteress. She was not faithful to her God. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, and who look to other gods. See, that's what it is. When you put these other things before the true God, and you don't bring yourself down to a level to minister to people who are, if people are not like me, I want to tell you what God says and help you understand who Jesus is so that you can get like me, or so to speak, and not so much like me, but like him. Get saved, trust in him, let his spirit live in you and help you understand what real mercy is, which is what God has extended to every man, woman, boy, and girl. So he goes on and says here, moving on in Hosea chapter 3, verse 2, so I bought her to me, for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and half a homer of barley. He paid the price to buy this woman who was an adulteress. Verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days, for you shall abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so I will also be for thee. So in other words, he gives her instruction to stay with me. And then what it means is broken out here in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. You know what? There's no king right now in Israel. Israel has not had a king since way back when they, right at the time when they crucified Messiah. He was their king. You know, that was the accusation that was on the sign above the cross, was Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. And they hated that. They tried to get Herod to take it down, to take it down, and he would not take it down. He said, what I've written, I've written. Pilate is who I mean to say. But it says that the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. They still don't have a king even today. They have a prime minister, and they have never had a succession of kings from the time that were actually connected to King David, like Jesus was through his mother, Mary. And even Joseph's line was connected to the line of David, although he was not Jesus' father. But he had his right to the throne, the ascent to the throne of David through his mother, Mary. And we don't have time to unpack all that tonight. But he was the king of Israel. And that's why when the wise came from the east, the Magi, they said, where is he who was born the king of the Jews? Because he had a legitimate birthright to be the king of the Jews. Not like the person who had usurped the throne and was the king at the time when Jesus was born. King Herod, you read about that in Matthew, the early chapters. And so what I want you to see here says, the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince. See that? That means no succession of kings all the way through. And without a sacrifice. Now, you know why they have no sacrifice? After 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and the whole sacrificial system is not right if the temple is not there. If there's no way for you to bring a sacrifice and come to Jerusalem in accordance with the law, you really don't have a sacrifice any longer. So God ended sacrifices, what happened. That's why it says that the veil in the temple was rent in the midst from top to bottom, showing that God was bringing an end to animal sacrifice. Why? Because his own son had been crucified on the cross in order to give life to whosoever believes in him. And that was God's final message to the world, not just to the Jews, but it eventually went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it's our good privilege to continue to take the gospel even to the ends of the earth. And so it's the gospel that's important. It's not politics. It's not skin color. It's not any of these things that people try to make distinctions with today that cause all the trouble and the kind of things we're dealing with today. These things come from a misunderstanding of the truth. And when you hear people who say they're the church, but they're not in this vein that we're talking about, check that. Understand that these are people who have twisted the truth, because God is love and he is for all people. There are only two groups, those who trust Christ and the ones who don't. And you're in one of those two groups. Other divisions that we make really have no bearing or no significance as far as whether you're saved or not. Salvation is the free gift of God given by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So the children of Israel, going on back to Hosea, shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. So those were things, the teraphim are a type of angels that oversaw the work of the sacrifice in the temple. But none of that. In other words, everything they normally know, they're going to be many days without it. And it's been now nearly, it's been 2,000 years roughly without it now, that they have been without these things. And so that's written as a symbol for me and you. And it's a prophecy to let us know that God, what we see in the news, it's on God's calendar. It's already, he knows about it already. That's why we have wars and rumors of wars and all of these things. And there's so much turmoil, and the gospel is polluted because people have polluted it with such stuff as politics and gender and all kinds of different things that they have polluted the gospel with. And the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so that's the important thing tonight. So I don't want you to, as people would say, and I've said this again, and I want to give it to you this way, don't calm down, calm up. Get yourself calm based on what God has said. Lift your eyes up and not down. Don't look at the stuff around you. And walk by faith and not by sight, because God has accurately described for me and you the character of these latter days. And we should understand it from that perspective. We want to understand it from the way God has said it. And if God be for us, beloved, who shall be against us? The answer is no one. No one can stand against what God has said. No matter what happens, doesn't mean that everything will be perfect in our lives. It will probably get increasingly more difficult. And you won't hear that from great portions of the church. They will tell you that, oh, everything's roses and all is well. And in some sense it is. The fact is, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us always, even to the end of the world, no matter what we see. And so that's the important thing. Don't let the stuff going on around you get you off track so that you are not able to keep your eye focused on Jesus, which is what the writer to the Hebrews said. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so you and I can rest right there, and we have to do that. You got to be anchored. That's why it says that we have an anchor that's both sure and steadfast, that has entered into the veil, the last veil. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the anchor of the soul for those who trust in him. And so I'm not trying to say, let me go ahead and put this on just before we wrap up our thoughts. I'm not trying to say that politics has no value. It does. It was God's idea to give man human government. But human governments have always been defective. And the truth is, they always will be defective. They always have defects, and they're never going to settle all the issues that people have. And the only way you can get your issues really settled is if you're in Christ. And if Christ is in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It says in Colossians 1:27, the Holy Spirit in you will give you peace even in the midst of turmoil. How do you think Paul survived being locked down by the government, if you will, in Philippi and so many different places. We saw him under the dominion of Rome, taken down, locked down. But he wrote the epistle of joy right out of a prison cell to the Philippians. And he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." See, so that's the kind of peace we need. We need the peace that passeth all understanding, and let the peace of God rule our heart and our mind. And he wrote that being locked down in a prison in filthy conditions, unjustly. So we should understand that. That's big stuff for me, so I know I can calm up. I don't have to calm down. I'm going to calm up because God loves me and he's given his son for me. And there's nothing down here that will come into your life that hadn't first passed through a nail-scarred hand. And God has made it that way. And he said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." So, beloved, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you see, don't get yourself into a depression or wonder, oh, you know, how will this work out? Don't worry about it. Get yourself into an evangelistic mood and reach out to somebody and tell them the good news that God has sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God loves you just like you are. And he has made a way, and he will continue to do that. So you can calm up. You don't have to calm down. People want to say, "Calm down, calm down." Well, no, I'm telling you, calm up. Because God is the one. And you know what? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. He can take me up and catch me away, and that's what he's planning on doing. And so I want to abide there. I want to park my mind on the truth of God, because I don't have to be concerned. Now, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to worry. That's the whole point. We want to cast out fear, and the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So know that God loves you perfectly, and he loves you just like you are. He loves you too much to leave you that way. He'll fix you as he's fixing all of his children. Amen. And so that's the good word I wanted to park with you today, and I hope that you are getting something from this that you can meditate on throughout this week. And if you're not saved, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved. Amen. God is for you. The Bible says that God is for us. Who can be against us? It's very important that we learn and understand that God is for you. He is not against you. And if you trust in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Doesn't make a difference anything else. Other stuff feels by comparison. But I want to give you an opportunity right now to trust in God and ask him to direct your life from here, even through this prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we have heard the good news that you so loved us, that you gave your Son, Jesus the Christ, around whom this whole world, this whole planet, and this entire universe is centered around him. And so, Lord, today we repent of our sin. We know that you are holy and righteous. We really don't fully grasp and understand what that means, but we want to just thank you, Lord, for providing salvation. You said, "Whosoever believes in your Son would not perish, but have everlasting life." And so, Father, we repent. We turn from our sin. And, Father, we want you to use us in these last evil days in order to reach somebody else who needs a Savior. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, the glory. And, Father, save us, those who are praying right now. Fill our soul with your Spirit, Lord God, and just let us know that you have been there for us and love us with an everlasting love, even like you did with the adulterous woman that you told Hosea about. You accept people no matter what their shortcomings are, and you do that by faith, not by works of righteousness, but by faith alone you save those who trust in you. So, Father, we come today trusting in the name of Jesus, your Son. We believe that you raised him from the dead, so we don't even have to fear death. And death was swallowed up in victory when he got out of that grave on the Thursday morning. And, Father, we just want you to help us to calm up in you, not be worried about the things of this life, Lord God, and guide us so that we have a clear vision even through the darkness. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and praise and the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name, Father, look over those who are grieving right now. Touch somebody who's healing right now, who might be sick or almost sick bed. Raise them up off of it so they can give you the praise and the glory a little while longer. Lord God, give us a divine purpose for which you would have us to do. And we'll give you all the praise, Lord God, all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
that you've gotten a word from the Lord. Amen. We want to thank God for you. Once again, I'm Pastor Fisher, and you can write us if you'd like to P.O. Box 210301, St. Louis, Missouri, 63121, P.O. Box 210301, 63121, at St. Louis, Missouri. Amen. We love you and pray that you have had